We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 12 today. And as we are studying over in Lansdale, Genesis chapter 12, the story of God calling Abraham out of his home, out of his country, away from his family, and out of his father's home. Because that's what God does when he brings us out of our comfort zone. He steps in where we wanted to quit. And that's what we're going to study this morning about Abraham being called away from his comfort zone, outside the box of comfort, and moving into a land that he didn't know what to expect. And that's what he's doing with each one of us. In some area, I promise you, the Lord wants you to step out of your comfort zone in some area where he can show you a new land, a promised land. Because, you know, Abraham and Sarah, they were together in the Ur of the Chaldeans, and she was infertile. She could not have children because that child of promise who would be the father, Abraham was our father, but would be the lineage to Jesus Christ, our Savior, could not be born unless they were in the promised land. The son of promise had to be born in the promised land. And that's what the Lord is doing in each one of us. He wants to for you to live in that divine nature, that new creation in that promised land that he is leading you to. As you step out of your comfort zone, that's where Christ really kicks in. And that's where his life is really manifested, when all of your logic and old nature just suddenly doesn't know what to do. And bam, Jesus steps in, and he's the one living in that set of circumstances. So let's start in Genesis chapter 11, verse 31. And Terah took his son, Terah was Abram's father, and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarah, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. And so the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So now we just learned that the Lord called Abraham in the land of Ur of the Chaldeans. And this is a land where that was their country. And this was a land of pagan worship, idolatry, idol worship. And this was a land that the Lord wanted to bring Abraham and Sarah out of so that he could bring them to the promised land and worship the one and true God, the creator of the universe. So he wanted to bring them out of there. And yet we see that his pagan worshiping father, Terah, leaves Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. Well, how did that happen? It was supposed to be Abraham and his wife. And here, his father is going too, along with his nephew. And how did that happen? But somewhere along the line, Terah also wanted to go to Canaan. Maybe, perhaps, Abraham said to his father, "Hey, Dad, I'm moving to this new land. I don't know where I'm going." And maybe his father said, "Well, then I'm going too," or "You're not going unless I'm with you," or whatever happened. But his father was the one that actually moved out of the Ur of Chaldeans to go to Canaan. And as they were going, they stopped in Haran, which is about like half of the way there, and never moved on beyond there. And that's where Terah died, in Haran. And at that point, finally, Abraham was confident enough because his father was past, okay, I'm okay to go now. Because of he felt that responsibility to stay with his father. So he didn't feel comfortable going without his father until his father passed away. You know, the word Terah means station, as in like stationary. And a word similar to it, Tara means to delay. So his father was a source of delay in him going where God was calling him to go. And a lot of times relationships we have in life that we cling on to can be a delay because we feel that need, that we have to stay connected to old relationships that we know are anchoring and causing delay in God bringing us to that new location. In fact, the other day, a friend of mine from college actually confronted me. He called me. He said, you know, listen, just you don't stay in touch and this and that and the other thing. And I said, you know, and he goes, just tell me what it is. I said, I'll be honest with you. I don't really look back too much. You know, I mean, we stay in touch, but, you know, God's leading me in new places and new directions, you know, and I'm sorry, it's nothing personal, but God has new plans for my life. And you know, I had to say it delicately, but you haven't really been part of that life. You're living part of the time in Argentina. So where am I going to have a connection with him? And yet he was hurt. And it's like, you know, we can't always stay in touch with everyone from our past because, you know, we only have a short time to live this life. And the Lord sometimes is moving us on to new directions, into new relationships. So terror was a form of delay for him. So let's pick it up in chapter 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. Now he already at this point is moved on into Haran, but from your family and from your father's house. And now he was finally free to do that because his father had passed away. And he felt that now it was okay to do that. And, you know, it must have been difficult because, you know, his father was probably wealthy. And Abraham had a position in his family that he would have taken over the inheritance of his father, you know. So it's not easy. We know the aftermath that the Lord blessed him and everything. But he didn't know that going. He just had to trust God and move out of that place of comfort into the unknown. So he moved him out and he says, so get out of your country, your family, and your father's house to a land that I will show you. And verse 2, and I will make you a great nation. Now, of course, Abraham is the father of the Jews, who is the lineage of Jesus Christ. So he's talking in terms of our Savior coming. And yet in the same way, each of these seven promises can be also applied to the saints, because he says, I will make you a great nation. And you know, when he's leading you into a new endeavor, he has, first of all, we have a cloud of witnesses that we have a great family waiting for us in heaven, right? But also, wherever he's leading us, there are people there to give us the love that Christ wants to love. He's not sending any one of us out into an island in and of ourselves. He always has a family there to support us because we have a new family in the Lord. And he says, I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. And of course, Abraham is the father of anyone with faith in God, the one and true living God. But really, you know, as believers, when we accept Christ and we step into the unknown in obedience to Christ, we are now not living that earthly born Chris Bonner. We're not living that old nature. We're now living that new creation because we're living the Christ in us. We are new now, a new identity, a great name for eternity. We're no longer the earthly identity. We are now the eternal creation, living the eternal life of Jesus Christ in this world. And we know in Revelation even says that one day we will receive a white stone with a new name written on it that no one knows that name except our Creator and the one who receives it, because he knows each one of us uniquely. He knows you inside and out. He knows his purpose in your life, and he knows your position in heaven. He knows everything about you. Your name will be great when you're living the life of Christ, you know? It's a shame so many will never really know what they could have done in Jesus' name. When we were living his life down here, the power, the authority, the victory over the enemy and reflecting the love of Christ to others. That's the new name he's talking about to the believer. And you shall be a blessing to others, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. We don't have to defend or commit revenge for ourselves. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And we know that Abraham, because he is the lineage of Christ, that all families were blessed through Abraham, right? And in the same way, of course, when someone sees you and is introduced to Christ, they are eternally blessed, aren't they? So these are seven promises to Abraham. when he steps out, and they're a promise that can't be taken away. This is a unilateral covenant that God is making with him. This is what I will do in you. And that's what a covenant he makes with you and I, even when we fail. And I'll tell you, there's in these next two chapters, which we're not going to actually read them all, but there was a couple failures. But God's promise stands firm no matter what you do to try to detour it or prevent it. Because the first thing Abraham does is bring Lot. And we know Lot caused a lot of problems. You know what I mean? And because he takes Lot, his nephew, and he should have left him home, but we don't know. I'm sure he felt like, well, it's my brother's son, and I'm his uncle, and he looks up to me. Whatever it is, I got to take him along, you know, and he's coming with me. I can't tell him to go back. So he brings Lot, and we know that because of Lot, you know, he has to divide the land that the Lord gives him and lets Lot choose the better part, so he thinks, and until Sodom and Gomorrah happens and it becomes a pile of sand, asphalt, and salt. But he has to haggle with his nephew over land that is his. Oh, he has to haggle. And later on, we know that he has to rescue him from the four kings that are attacking Sodom and Gomorrah and those other five kings. He has to rescue him from there. I mean, Lot is not an asset to this trip to Canaan. Do you know what I mean? What is the opposite of an asset? He's a liability is what he is, right? And he really is. So, and you know, we see Moses. Remember, Moses was the same way. The Lord appeared to him in a bush. He says, I'm going to send you back. Yeah, but I can't talk right. And which was wrong. You know, he was raised in all the greatest schools in Egypt. And he says, yeah, but I can't. Yeah, but. And what if? What if they don't listen to me? What if? And yet finally the Lord just got angry. All right, I'll give you Aaron. He's on his way over here now anyway. But we know Aaron wasn't a big plus either, was he? I mean, look at Aaron. They're on the Mount. They're on Mount Sinai receiving the law. And the first law, don't make idols. And that's what Aaron's doing down there. He's helping them make a golden calf to worship. He's supervising it. Do you know what I mean? That's not the support you want in a ministry, right? And then later on, they're jealous, him and his sister Miriam, and they're challenging his authority until the Lord strikes Miriam with leprosy. And they're like, oh, sorry. You know, but now we know the Lord made Aaron into something great, a priesthood. He could turn everything. He could turn, you know, everything into lemonade. You know, he could turn it all around. God works all things for the good of those who love him and called according to his purpose. You know, he will make everything, even that went bad, into good if we let him do it. But he didn't need Aaron. And of course, Abraham didn't need Lot. And sometimes we take things with us for our comfort zone. Do you know Lot means, it means envelope or covering. That's what Lot means. You know, Lot was like a security blanket to Abraham. He didn't need him. He just brought him along. And yet, that's the thing that became stinky and rebellious and a problem to him, right? Is it because he brought that security blanket. You know, sometimes if the Lord's calling us, we really need to weigh out, is everyone with me really with me, you know? Because if the Lord's giving you a vision, it doesn't necessarily include everyone around you. In fact, a lot of times when you share the vision, people think you're goofy or nuts. Or they even can be negative towards that, you know? If the Lord's giving you a direction, that's his direction for you. We know that Abraham leaves with Lot, and then he steps into, you know, the famine. There is a famine in the land. And what happens is, aren't you glad you read these stories? Because he distrusts God and says, maybe I'll go to Egypt. You know, Egypt is always a symbol of the world. And even on his way down to Egypt, he's saying, hey, Sarah, listen, it might not go so well for me here because you're a beautiful 65-year-old. You know, isn't that the most puzzling thing? But, you know, beauty is always eternal. You know what I mean? But he's like saying, you know, they might all want you. So, and she was beautiful and they're on their way. But he's already compromising and he hasn't even gotten there yet. But he's already preparing to compromise and half lie. You know, so he's heading down to Egypt. Aren't you glad you see that? That like when I compromise, God's still trying to reroute, recalculate, back to the path he's trying to bring us to, you know? And that's what that Abraham is distrusting God because there's no food out here and it was merely a test. But instead, he's going into Egypt where he shouldn't go. That's not the land of Canaan. And that's where he's heading, already preparing to compromise. But then God protected him there, and on his way out, he has even more possessions. Wow, that detour wasn't so bad. But you know who he also had with him? Hagar. And Hagar was a problem. Sometimes we don't even realize some of the consequences of our disbelief in God, but they kind of cling to us. I mean, we can get rid of them, but it's not always easy, you know? And so he picks up Hagar on the way out. And then as they're traveling through the land with Lot, they're both prosperous. The Lord's blessing Abraham and blessing Lot because of Abraham. And then finally, their herdsmen start disagreeing, getting in arguments. And Abraham, the great peacemaker, says, look, you know, you're my nephew. I don't want there to be animosity between us. You know, why don't you just choose the land you want to go to? And I'll choose the other. He even allowed him to go first. You know, what grace that is, you know? And yet all the land was really Abraham's. So, of course, Lot chooses to go towards Sodom and Gomorrah, which looked beautiful at the time, almost like the Garden of Eden would have looked, you know, fruitful and lush. And that's the direction he went until Sodom and Gomorrah fell and the Lord rescued Lot. But you see, when we are compromising like that, turmoil begins. And then sometimes what we do is blame God for the turmoil instead of just saying, no, get back out of the box. Stay in the course that I'm already bringing you to. And then things will be right. So the Lord takes him and leads him on. And now we're going to pick up in Genesis 13. We're just going to read the last portion of chapter 13, if you will. And we'll see these amazing things that happen. I don't know if I mentioned, but you know, that land, Ur of the Chaldeans, that the Lord had guided Abraham out of, they were idol worshipers. Did I mention that? Yeah, they worship foreign gods, which are really demons, because there are no other gods. There's one God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we find out really that these gods they were worshiping were demons, if we could read that. What I am saying then, this is Paul writing to the church of Corinth, that an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything. Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, the sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. I just bring that out because it's important to really remember that the Lord was taking him out to worship the one and true God. And sometimes the things that we are unwilling to let go of are the reason we don't have commitment to the one and true God. Because in a sense, they're gods to us. And in a sense, it's a compromise to the work of the enemy. And it keeps its hooks in us. Do you know what I mean? So as we read on here in chapter 13, verse 14, and the Lord said to Abram, this is after they split up, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes, look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. You know, David said in Psalm 16:6, he said, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. He knew that the Lord had a pleasant boundary for him to go into. And yet sometimes because of our unwillingness to take a chance and our desire to just stay in that comfort zone, we're unwilling to really expand our horizon and see where he's leading us. I have a little prop, not much of something, but you know me and props, I kind of like them. But I have here a box, you know, and it's even a moving box. Because sometimes we think we're being obedient and we go, but we're still making the move in a box. We still see things through our own paradigm, what we've always known to be true, and we just choose to move along, but we're always still in the box, in the comfort zone. And we're always trying to transition what we're experiencing to the way we used to think. Do you know what I'm saying? And the Lord is saying, look, step outside of that box. Because unless you step into the unknown, you're never really going to know what I am capable in you. Because we're still trying to stay in the way we used to think. And we're unwilling to step out and experience new things. And he's just saying, you know, just step out of what you used to know. Step out of that box and walk into the unknown so that I can do the walking and living through you. And then you will really learn who I am. And then you will really know your new identity when you're willing to step away from your old place that you used to live, you know. And this really rings home a lot, you know. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, make yourself a living sacrifice and don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to prove the perfect will of God. Then you will know what God really is leading you to. This message is ringing so clear to me and my family because we're going through so much change right now. You know about our church in Lansdowne and our stepping out of this church, you know, which is big. But also our kids, they have a band and they have a great opportunity to go on tour starting the fall. And a lot of us say, yeah, well, they're young. I say it all the time. Ah, they're young. They can make a mistake. But really, each one of us, no matter what our age, God is saying, step out of your comfort zone. Take the risk. Don't you think I have enough resources to supply what you need when you get there? You know, even the criminal on the cross, he had a couple hours left maybe. And there he is mocking Christ. Suddenly truth set in. Am I an idiot? I don't know what he thought, but he said, he turned and started rebuking the other criminal. And he said, listen, will you remember me when your kingdom comes? And that was all he had to say. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. A couple hours left, you know, because this tombstone we're all going to have in our grave, representing the old body that is just a tent that just is melting into the ground. That tombstone represents our earthly life, but our new creation has no end. And what we do down here has eternal significance, major importance. And trading the what if for the woulda, coulda, shoulda. I would much rather just take the chance and let God provide and shut the door if it's meant to be shut or open the door than looking back, wouldn't you? You know, we can't look back, you know. Thank God he doesn't keep us out of heaven, you know, when we disobey. But wouldn't you like to see the playback of your life and say, I'm glad I took that chance. I'm glad I took that chance. You know, think about this. You know, the reason we don't step out of the box, step out of our comfort zone, is either fear. You know, we're insecure. We're ill-equipped. You know, all these things about ourselves, which are all the old nature. You know, in the spirit, there's no condemnation, no shame. The fruit of the Spirit is none of that. In fact, fear isn't even in it. It's all love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You know, he has only good things for us when we walk in faith. But when we're unwilling to, unbelief kicks in. And unbelief is an invitation for the enemy to come right back in. We're inviting the enemy to remind us of our past, our old nature. That was the life of unbelief, wasn't it? The old nature. We didn't have faith then. And when we don't move in belief, what we're doing is we're making alliance now to the old nature. And you know who owned that, right? We have to step out in faith and have no fear of who can kill us. You know what I mean? No fear of that at all. Because, you know, the fear of the Lord, fear of the Lord is for us, not towards us. Because, you know, we know in 1 John chapter 3, it says, you know, there is no fear in the Lord. Perfect love casts out fear. When you're in the heart of the fear of the Lord, the angel of the Lord encamps himself around those who fear him. When I am in the fear of the Lord, he has his canopy of fear around me, directed at all of his enemies. And I am embedded in his love. And I love the fear of the Lord because it's not aimed at me. It's aimed at his enemies. And when I go into the new place, his pillar of fire is on me at nighttime and his cloud is over me during the daytime. And I have nothing to fear. Don't let fear stop us from stepping outside of that box, because fear is not of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is for us, not towards us. It's towards our enemies. You know, healthy fear is when we get towards the edge and we realize we get zapped. You know, that invisible fell, went too far. Let me wait. Let me wait for the fear to catch up to me. You know what I mean? And so I can move in that power. And the other thing, and we already talked about, is unbelief. You know, lack of belief. I'm telling you, that's where the enemy loves to mess with you, in that land of doubt. That's where he really plays with your heart and mind. You can't do that. Come on. Really? Yes, really. And you know, we have the Spirit of God in us, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that we could stare in the face of demonic presence and say, I cast you out in Jesus' name. You have nothing in me. Because Jesus said, he said that the enemy has nothing in me, and we are in Christ in the heavenlies, and he is in us here on earth. And the enemy has nothing against you unless you consent. The only power he has over you is your consenting power. Once you consent to let him in, then he's going to mess with you. But you have to consent to it. Otherwise, get away from me. You have nothing because Christ lives here and you cannot come against Jesus Christ. You know, that's who we are in Christ. He is setting us up for victory, not for failure. We can't fail in Christ. And he's leading us outside of that box. There's a baton that God has given each one of us because Christ, when Christ died, he rose again. For 40 days, showed himself off to everybody. I'm here, but I won't be soon. And then when he went to heaven 50 days later, that at Pentecost, that Spirit came down, and that was the game changer. That changes everything. Because from that point, the ruler lost his control. Because now we possess the Spirit of God to bring the kingdom, to show the kingdom off in this world. And that's what he wants to do through each one of us. He has passed his baton, his torch to you, which is the Spirit of God. He has given it to you and say, now run with it because it's my fire you're carrying. And the enemy hates my fire. He runs the other way. Let me just close with this, with these couple of verses. John chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. And this is what Jesus says to you. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. The greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, who could stand against us? No one. And we stand in the power and glory and authority of Jesus Christ. Why stay in a box when everything is open to us? Our boundary lines have fallen for us in pleasant places. Let's go find out where they are. You know, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. All this joy, Lord, the joy of the Lord. There's just, it's good news all the time. You are always good news. So, Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name today, if someone doesn't know you and they're still living in darkness, Lord, we ask you to just open up their heart and mind today that they would receive you. Lord God, just thank you for just revealing the great places you have for us to roam and the great things waiting for us. and the great victories in your spirit that are waiting. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.